All right. Welcome, everyone. Whether you're a regular attender here at Central, or you're visiting today for the very first time, or you're from out of the area coming to visit family and you're here today, or you're just looking in at a church to see maybe if God wants you to become more committed to Him, we're just glad you're here. Maybe you're watching us online this morning. Maybe you're in our Oakwood Chapel worshiping this morning. Wherever you are, we're just glad that you're worshiping with us. And we are continuing a teaching series that's called The Invitation. It's a study in the Gospel of Mark. So if you have a Bible this morning, I'd like you to take it out and turn with me, not to Mark, but to Matthew, just one book to the left of Mark. The reason we're going to look at Matthew this morning is because he has a little bit different slant on the story that we would read in Mark chapter 6 that I want you to be aware of. Every Jewish rabbi had what was called a yoke. The yoke of the rabbi was essentially his interpretation of the Jewish law or his teaching. It was the responsibility of the disciple or the student of the rabbi to take figuratively the yoke of the rabbi on their shoulders so that they could walk in step with the rabbi or literally become exactly like the rabbi. So Jesus comes along in Matthew 11 and he says to his disciples, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me," meaning learn to walk in step with me, learn to become exactly like me. So what does it mean to take the yoke of Jesus on our shoulders and become exactly like him? That's the whole point of this series in Mark. So we've been looking at invitations to become more like Christ. And the invitation we're going to look at this morning is an invitation to walk on water, an invitation to walk on water. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we depend on you this morning to guide us and lead us, to help us to understand the truth of Scripture. And so, Lord, I pray whether people are watching online, whether they're here in the room or outside of the room, Lord, that you would open their hearts to clearly discern what you're saying to them. Reveal truth to us this morning, God, I pray in Jesus' name, amen, amen. So you've probably heard Jesus walking on the water. What maybe you haven't heard is that one of his disciples named Peter also walked on the water with Jesus. Let me share that story with you just briefly. It was the day that Jesus had multiplied the fish and the loaves and fed the thousands of people. Well, after that, he put his disciples into a boat and sent them across the Sea of Galilee. He sent the crowds away, and then he went up on a mountain to pray. In the middle of the night, he came down from the mountain and started walking across the Sea of Galilee. He noticed that the disciples were in the middle of the lake struggling in a storm. So Jesus walks toward them, toward the boat. And when Peter sees Jesus walking toward them, he says, "Lord, if that's you, then tell me to come onto the water with you." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter gets out of the boat, crawls over the side of the boat, and begins to walk on the water. And then for a moment, he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he notices the surf and the waves being driven by the wind, and he gets afraid and he begins to sink. And he cries out to Jesus, and Jesus reaches out his hand, pulls Peter out, saves him. They get back into the boat, and then Jesus calms the storm. But for this moment, Peter was actually walking on water. So let me ask you a question this morning. When was the last time you walked on water? Can you remember that? When was the last time you actually got out of the boat and started walking on water? I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually. When was the last time you stepped out of your comfort zone in order to do what God wanted you to do? Maybe that meant obeying a really hard command of Jesus, and you did it. Or maybe it simply meant you overcoming your fear in order to do what God was calling you to do. My freshman year of college, I was not walking with God. I was caught up in getting high and getting drunk and with unhealthy relationships with girls. And I was working at a grocery store, and a young man named Steve got hired there, and Steve was a strong Christian. And Steve and I became friends, and I was part of his oikos. I was part of his relational world that he was trying to reach for Christ. And Steve shared with me that I needed to fully surrender my life to Jesus and follow him. Well, part of me realized that That's exactly what I needed to do. God was already kind of moving me in that direction. So there was part of me that said, yeah, I need to do that. And then there was a part of me that didn't want to give up the life I was living. There was part of me that wanted to hold on to that. So I remember going over on his aisle. We worked in the middle of the night. I remember walking over to his aisle and saying, Steve, how hard was it for you to just go all in, like to surrender your life fully to Jesus? And he said, really hard. He said, but it's the greatest decision I ever made. So I remember walking back to my aisle, my head just swimming, thinking, God's calling me to do this, but there's a part of me that I don't want to. And I realized that I was in the boat, like the disciples. And I needed to get out of the boat, and Jesus was calling me out of the boat into the water. So you see, the reality is the water's a scary place. It's easier to stay in the boat, but there's never any miracles that happen in the boat. The miracles happen on the water. And so I had to make that decision. Am I going to stay in the boat, or am I going to get out of the boat and follow Jesus onto the water? And many of you are in that very place right now. You know God is calling you to something. You know God is calling you maybe out of something into something, but you're in the boat and you're wrestling with, do I get out? Let's read that story this morning in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. The reason we're reading from Matthew is because none of the other gospel writers mention Peter walking on the water. They only mention Jesus walking on the water. So we're going to read Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while Jesus sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, it's a ghost. And let me pause there for a second. There were legends that were going around in that time. One of them was that the spirits of the dead lived in the sea. Another one was that if you drown in the sea or in the lake, that your spirit was trapped there forever. So the disciples, who were fishermen, many of them, are out on the lake, and they understood those legends. They're seeing this ghost come near them. The Greek word there is phantasma or phantom. And they're thinking to themselves, if we don't get to shore, that's going to be us. We're going to drown here and we're going to become spirits trapped in this lake. So they're terrified. Jesus spoke to them at once and said, don't be afraid. He said, take courage. I am here, or it is I, or I am. Then Peter called to him saying, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. Now notice there that this isn't Peter just wanting to do something fun or Peter wanting to do something spectacular. This is Peter responding to the invitation of Jesus. This is Peter responding to what Jesus was telling him to do. So when we're talking about walking on water and getting out of the boat, this is something the Lord is leading you to do. This is something Jesus is saying to you, I want you to come to where I am. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus, but when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. How many of you know that fear will sink us if we allow it to? He cried out, save me, Lord. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed Peter by the hand. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped Jesus and said, you really are the Son of God. There's two questions I want to answer this morning from this text in Matthew chapter 14. The first is this. What kept the other 11 disciples in the boat? Why didn't they get out? The second question is, what did get Peter out of the boat? Now, those are really important because you have to answer that for yourself. What's keeping you in the boat? And what is it that's going to help you get out of the boat? So let's start with the 11 disciples that were in the boat that didn't get out of the boat. What kept them in the boat? The first thing is, They had nothing to hold. They had something to hold on to in the boat. They had something to hold on to. They had some sense of security. See, in the boat, you could hold on to the boat and have a sense of security. To step out of the boat, there was nothing to hold on to. So to step out of the boat meant I fully trust that Jesus is going to support me. How many of you know that having some security will keep you in the boat? Not having security is a scary thing. It's scary to step into something where you don't have anything to hold on to, because we like having security and stuff to hold on to in life. The second thing was they couldn't do it on their own. They couldn't walk on water on their own. In other words, this seemed impossible to them. This seemed beyond what they could do. How many of you are willing to step into something that you know you don't have the ability to do, and you know you're going to be dependent on God's help to do it? I love what John Ortberg says. John Ortberg wrote a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Have to Get Out of the Boat. And in that book, he says this: let water walking or walking on water be a picture of doing with God's help what I could never do on my own. See, God wants to take us as believers places that we could never get to ourselves. He wants to do supernatural things in our life and empower us to do what we can't do. I think the 11 disciples stayed in the boat because they realized, I can't do this on my own, and I don't fully trust that God's going to help me with that. The third thing was, I think they were afraid to fail, which is really what locks us up, isn't it? We get locked up in this fear of what if God doesn't come through? What if I fail? What will people think of me? What will I look like if that happens in my life? You know, it's really easy to stay in the boat when you're afraid to fail. When you're afraid of taking that chance because you don't know that you're gonna succeed. The 11 were gripping the boat because they didn't want to fail in their life. And then the last one is they were more concerned or more worried about what they might lose than what they might gain. If we're honest, isn't that where we are? Like, we don't take chances. We don't do things that we don't think we can do because we're more concerned about holding on to what we have and or maybe losing that than gaining what God might give to us. Now, I shared with you my story about being in the boat and my friend Steve saying, you need to make a decision to follow Christ and go all in with him. And that was a moment of stepping out of the boat. Well, I was thinking about all the things that I might have to give up, maybe that I didn't want to give up. I wasn't thinking about all of the things that I was going to gain. I was going to get a new life. I was going to enter into a relationship with God. My whole life was different after that. But you may be sitting here today wrestling with that thought. I'm afraid to lose what I have, not thinking about the tremendous things you're going to gain if you get out of the boat and step into the water. And God created you to step into the water. So I think those are some reasons the other 11 didn't get out of the boat. And maybe you've experienced some of those things. But what was it that got Peter out of the boat? Maybe that's the more important question. What motivated Peter to be different than the 11? Well, let me share a couple thoughts with that. The first is, he saw Jesus doing it. He saw Jesus doing it. Let's go back to the text. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. They were in a storm. About 3:00 in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost." And then Peter saw him, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, then bid me to come to you on the water." I shared earlier that it was the responsibility of every Jewish disciple with their rabbi to become exactly like them. So there was a mindset, there was a mentality among Jewish young men that were following a rabbi that if I see the rabbi doing it, then I should do it. If the rabbi does it, I'm supposed to do it because I'm supposed to emulate his teaching and his lifestyle. And that cuts right to the heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. To be a disciple of Jesus means you become exactly like him. In fact, chapter 8, verse 29 says that we were destined in Christ to be conformed into the image of Jesus. So the whole Christian life is about becoming more like Christ. So when I look in the Gospels and I see how Jesus prayed, that's how I pray. When I see how Jesus sought after people that were lost spiritually, I'm supposed to do that. When I see how Jesus responded to people that hurt him and abused him and mistreated him and humiliated him, the manner with which Jesus responded, that's how I'm to respond. So our attitude in following Christ has to be, if I see Jesus doing it, I should do it. Is that your attitude towards what it means to be a Christian? It's not just going to church. It's not just going to Bible study. It's not just trying to be a better person. All of those things are supposed to help you become more like Christ. If you see the rabbi doing it, you should do it. And so Peter understood that. So the rabbi's walking on water and he's like, okay, this is weird for me. But Jesus, if that's you, you're my rabbi, then I want to do what you're doing. So call me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says, come, follow me, do what I'm doing. Well, the second thing was not only did he see Jesus doing it, but he realized who Jesus was. Peter, one of the reasons he got out of the boat was he realized who Jesus was. Let's go back to the text. Jesus spoke to them at once and he said, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. Now let me stop there, because in the Greek, it doesn't say I am here. It just says, I am. I am. Now, I am was a phrase that God used to describe himself in the Old Testament, way back in Exodus chapter 3. If you remember the story of Moses before the burning bush, God calls to Moses and he's going to send him to Egypt to deliver the Israelites from the bondage of slavery that they were in for 400 years. And so Moses says, why would Pharaoh listen to me? When I go to Pharaoh and say, let the people go, who should I say is sending me? And God says, just tell him, I am is sending you. Okay, that really doesn't help, God, right? I'm gonna tell the leader of the largest nation, most powerful nation in the earth to let the people go because I am is sending me. Well, who is I am? And God says, I am that I am. The word is a derivative from the Hebrew verb to be, which means I was, I am, and I always will be. God always existed. He always will exist. He's eternal. Just tell him that I am has sent you, the great I am. We sing songs about the great I am. That's the covenant name of God with Israel. That's who I am to you. I'm the one that always exists and meets all of your needs. And so Jesus in the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of John, 7 times Jesus says, I am. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine and you are the branch. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate of the sheep, right? I am. And what he was saying was, I am God, the same God that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. That's me. I am. Jesus was declaring that he was God. Some people say, well, Jesus was a teacher. Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh, yes, he did. That's why he was crucified, because he claimed to be the Jewish Messiah. He claimed to be God in the flesh. So the disciples are understanding from Jesus' teaching who he is. And then on the water, he says, take courage. I am. I'm God. You don't need to worry about it. So he goes on. Then Peter called to him and said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. What did Peter call Jesus in that moment? Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Lord, Master, Lord. Now the 3 miracles that Jesus performed in Mark chapter 6, the multiplying of fish and bread, walking on the water, the story we're reading now. And after this, Jesus, it says he healed everybody that came to him that had sickness, and he cast out demons. So Peter is understanding or realizing who Jesus is, that Jesus is the powerful Lord of the entire universe, that Jesus demonstrated that he had power over sickness or authority over sickness by healing the sick. Jesus demonstrated that he had power over Satan by casting out demons. Jesus had demonstrated that he had power over all of creation by multiplying bread and fish. And Jesus demonstrated that he had authority or power over all of the natural laws of the universe by walking on the water and by calming the storm. And Peter says, Lord, I see who you are. And if you can heal the sick, if you have power over Satan, if you have control over all of creation and all the laws of the natural world, I believe if I step onto the water, you can hold me up. Amen? If that's who you are, if it's really you. Because you have demonstrated you are God in the flesh, you are the Lord. Knowing and realizing who Jesus is makes it easier to get out of the boat and walk on the water. There's a lot of Christians that struggle with this principle called tithing. Tithing, don't close your ears now, listen to me for a sec. The word tithe means a tenth or 10%. To tithe means that you give a tenth or 10% of all of your income back to the Lord, that belongs to him, and you give it through the church that you worship at, okay? A lot of Christians say, that's Old Testament stuff. It is. And then they say, that's not New Testament. That doesn't apply to us today. Wrong, it actually does. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks when we talk about what Jesus said about money, okay? But tithing is a principle for us today. It's God's plan of blessing for us financially. And yet a lot of Christians have struggled with that. They're in the boat, and it's difficult to give that 10% to God because if I give that 10%, how am I going to live? If I give that 10%, how am I going to make ends meet? If I step out of the boat and follow you, how in the world are you going to keep me afloat and meet all of my needs? And then you start thinking about who Jesus is. This little boy that very day had come to the disciples and said, I have five loaves of bread and a couple little fish. I'll give what I have. Jesus took that little Lunchable and he fed 20,000 people with it. So do you think if you give your tithe unto the Lord, that he's able to meet your needs, that he's able to multiply that and meet every financial need that you have? See, Peter began to understand who Jesus was, and it was easier for him to step out of the boat. And friends, in your life today, the more you get to know Jesus, the more those steps of faith, the more time stepping out of the boat that God asks you to do, it's going to become easier because you see who he is, as Peter did. The third thing is that Peter, he knew that he was safe with Jesus. He knew that he was safe with Jesus. Let's go back to the text. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you on the water, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, yes, come. Now, what was Peter feeling at that moment? Do you think he was fearful? I think he was. Do you think he was uncomfortable? I think he was. He never did that before. He's a fisherman. Come on, how many fishermen walk on water? None. So I think there was his comfort level was pretty low at that time. But being uncomfortable doesn't mean being unsafe. So if you think that walking with Jesus, you're never going to be uncomfortable, you're wrong. That doesn't mean you're in a dangerous place. That doesn't mean it's unsafe to do what God is asking you to do. Jesus said, come to where I am, Peter. Come to where I am. Jesus wasn't in the boat. If Peter wanted to be with Jesus, he had to get out of the boat and step onto the water. See, it's on the water that we experience the presence and power of Jesus. They weren't experiencing the presence and power of Jesus in the boat. You had to get out of the boat to experience the presence of Jesus. Peter knew that if he stepped out of the boat, one of two things was going to happen. Either Jesus was going to supernaturally hold him up, or if he started sinking, Jesus would save him. He can't lose. It's win-win. You step out, it's a safe place to follow Jesus. If you stumble, he's going to save you. Or he's going to hold you up. There's nothing to worry about whenever you step onto the water. He was safer with Jesus on the water than in the boat without him. See, the safest place to be in life is where Jesus is. The safest place to be is right in the middle of God's will, no matter how difficult or unsafe or scary it might seem. The safest place is on the water if Jesus is calling you on the water. It's not in the boat. It's where Jesus is calling you to. Here's a picture of Kendra Michael. Kendra Michael is now our operations director in Ethiopia. She's the liaison between Central Church and all of our partners in Ethiopia. Kendra, from a young age, felt the call of God to world mission, to global mission, and so was kind of preparing for that. And she's been a part of Central Church for a long time, and as we developed this ministry in Ethiopia, she felt like God was calling her to go to Ethiopia and be a missionary there. So when she was 23 years old, she left Central Church, and she's been over there a year or so. And we went over a few months ago and visited with her. And I sat her down this week and I said, Kendra, what was your step out of the boat moment? Like, to step out of Central and to step into that ministry, what was the scary thing? Like, what was keeping you in the boat? I said, was it like being a single white female going into Ethiopia? Was that making you nervous? She said, no. She said, I didn't fear that. I knew where I was staying, and I felt like it was a pretty safe place, and it didn't bother me that I was a female or that I was white. I felt like God was still going to use me there. I said, well, was it like leaving friends and family or leaving the comfort of a local church that you've been a part of your whole life? What? She said, no. I've been so passionate about this and so excited about this that overrode any feelings that I'd be homesick or that I wouldn't make it there. I said, what was the boat moment? And she said, I'm 23 years old, and I haven't had really much experience in leadership in the church. And now I've got this weight of responsibility of going and representing Central Church in Ethiopia to these ministry partners. And what if I fail? What if I don't have what it takes? What if I let the church down? What if I come home humiliated? What if I come home a failure? Feeling like, yeah, you know, there she goes, a brash 23-year-old, and then what if it doesn't work out? And Kendra had to wrestle with that and say, am I going to step out of the boat onto the water with my insecurities, my fears, and my worries? Because she knew from the elder board, she knew from the pastoral board here that we felt like God was calling her, the time was right for her to go. And so she stepped out of the boat, and it's been a great experience. God, there's been some areas, I'll be honest, of pride with Kendra that the Lord has humbled, and he's chipped away at her character a little bit, but she's flourishing. I mean, she's doing incredible work and maturing and growing in her faith and becoming the young woman that God wants her to be on the mission field in Ethiopia. Great representative of Central Church, because she was willing to overcome that fear and step out of the boat. Now, where are you today? Where's the safest place for you to be? In the boat or on the water with Jesus? So what's keeping you in the boat? The last thing I think that got Peter out of the boat is this. He was growing in his faith. He was growing in his faith. Now listen to what Jesus says to Peter. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and said, you have no faith, Peter. Why did you doubt? Is that what he said? No. What did he say? You have?
So little.
What did he say?
So little.
Little faith. It wasn't that he didn't have any faith. He just had little faith that needed to be developed. Little faith that needed to grow. I would suggest the other 11 had no faith. I would suggest they didn't have faith because they didn't step out of the boat. But Jesus looks at Peter and he said, you got little faith. Why did you doubt? You were there. You were on the water. Why did you look away from me and begin to doubt? He's not scolding Peter, I don't think. He's just saying, come on, bro. You got this. You were there. But I want to grow and develop your faith. See, Peter's faith grew through this moment. Peter's faith grew because he jumped out of the boat and began to walk toward Jesus. He was learning to trust Jesus. And in 40 years of walking with Jesus, what I found is there's not just one boat experience. There's just not one time to walk on the water. But over and over, God wants to develop Jeff's little faith. He wants to build it into bigger faith. And he wants to do that with you. And so we constantly find ourselves on the sea, in a storm, on the boat, with Jesus saying, I want you to come and follow me. And we have that dilemma. Do we stay in the boat or do we step out and follow Jesus? Realizing that miracles only happen on the water. They don't happen in the boat. Faith is only developed on the water. Faith is not developed in the boat. If we want to grow like Peter in his faith, we have to be willing to say yes to the Lord over and over again, and it takes tremendous faith. But God wants to develop that and grow that. So 14 years ago, I was interviewing. Ben Lee's here this morning. He was the chairman of the search committee with me. And I was interviewing for the job here. And the job description said you had to have led a church of this size for so many years, and you have to have led a staff of this size for so many years. And I didn't have any of that experience. I said, I'm staying in the boat, y'all. Like, this is bigger than what I've done before. I've never done this before. So I had a decision to make when they offered me the job. Are you gonna step onto the water into something you've never done before, or are you gonna stay in the boat where it's comfortable? I had a pretty comfortable spot in California. And in fact, fast forward, I took the job and got here and realized we were over $5 million in debt because of the building campaign, this addition. Some of us went to a Dave Ramsey seminar for churches to figure out debt reduction for churches that owed money. And it was a great program. It was this congregation-wide capital campaign that was really good. Dave Ramsey's really good. We came back and we said, okay, let's pray about it. So we took four nights and prayed about four consecutive nights with the elder board and some of our staff. After four nights, we unanimously felt like God was saying, don't do the program. Okay, God, what do you want us to do instead? Here's what God told us. Give the people 6 weeks to prepare for an offering, and then take one offering, and then don't ask for money anymore. Just stay focused on ministry. Okay, yeah, that's gonna go over, God, right? $5 million, somehow that's gonna all get paid off. And we had about $300,000 in savings at the church. We put that toward it. We took an offering and about $1.2 million came in. So we had about $1.5 million to put toward the $5 million debt. We still owed way over $3 million. And we didn't say anything. We didn't ask for any more money. We didn't remind the people of the debt. 6 months later, it was paid off. I have no idea how. God just said, just follow me. Just step onto the water and let me work. Just trust me with that. It was unconventional. But listen, walking on water is unconventional. So what is God calling you to today? 5 years ago, God said, hey, Jeff, I don't want you to use notes anymore when you preach. Sorry, God, I draw a line somewhere. I can't do that. If you knew me and my personality and my gifting, you'd go, that's craziness for Jeff to be able to do that. And yet, that was the Lord saying, get out of the boat, step into the water, trust me with that. And so for 5 years, I've been chipping away at that and trying to grow in that, letting God develop my faith in that. It never stops. Our faith is always tested and challenged by God because he wants us to grow into the image of Jesus. He wants us to have strong faith, not little faith. And so we're constantly faced with storms in the boat where Jesus is saying, get out of the boat and follow me. And the question is, what will you do? Will you follow him, even if it's scary? What does stepping out of the boat today look like for you? What does that mean for you? Maybe it means talking with someone in your relational world, your oikos, about God, and you've never talked to people about God. Maybe that's getting out of the boat. Maybe it's forgiving someone that's really hurt you, mistreated you, abused you. Maybe it's starting a new career. Maybe it's going back to school. Maybe it's getting out of an unhealthy dating relationship that you know the Lord is saying to get out. Maybe it's to stop living together if you're Christians, you're a Christian couple and you're not married yet. Maybe God is saying, don't live together. Maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class or a student life group on Wednesday nights or some other area of ministry that God is calling you into and you're in the boat holding on for dear life. Maybe it's to build a relationship in your relational world with someone that doesn't know Christ. Become friends with them. Hey, men, maybe it's, you know you're supposed to be the spiritual leader of your home. Maybe it's doing devotions with your family at night, leading that, or leading your family in prayer, stepping out of the boat, not letting your wife do that anymore, but you step out of the boat and you begin to do that. On August 25th, we're having a congregational vote to see if we should move forward with expanding the building. It's a projected $25 million project. August 25th, if the members of the church vote to approve moving toward expansion, then we're going to be coming back to you and saying, time to give. It's time to invest financially into the work of the kingdom here at Central. What will you do? Because you're going to be asked to get out of the boat. You're going to be asked to make a sacrifice. You're going to be asked to step out and trust God with whatever gift you give. What will you do in that moment? See, friends, the reality is many of us stay in the boat, in the security of the boat, our whole life because it's safe. But God never created you for safe. He created you to walk on the water. He created you to be changed. He created you to grow in your faith, and you'll never grow in the boat. So he's saying, step out, walk on the water. There's an area of your life the Lord is probably right now saying, come on, come on, come on. What is it? You stand with me this morning. This morning, somebody here needs to, like I did my freshman year of college, give your heart to Christ. That's getting out of the boat for you. Surrendering to Jesus right now. And we're gonna have some folks up here to pray if you'd like to do that. Or if you need prayer in any other area, we're gonna have people to pray with you. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you this morning that you call us. You call us onto the water, out of the boat. You call us to extend our faith and our trust in you. You call us to believe that we can do things that we couldn't do on our own. Lord, you call us to do what you're doing. So this week, Lord, we ask for that extra grace to get out of the boat, into the water, in Jesus' name, amen.